The Brant and Sherry Oddcast, sponsored by the King's College. To find out more about the radio show or to order Brant's new book, Blessed Are the Misfits, go to BrantHanson.com.
I want to introduce a new feature of the show. Really excited about this. I think people are going to enjoy it. It's one of those things that like other radio shows do and you listen to it every day. You're like, oh, it's time for the, and we're going to do the birthday club. And this is when we do a birthday club feature, and whoever has a birthday that week, we just make a big deal out of them and shower them with presents or whatever.
That's interesting.
So we had to just want to get it started.
We're going to get it started this week.
Yeah, I think this is the week we'll get it started.
Okay. Allow me to say happy birthday to you. Belated.
Oh, yeah, mine.
Yeah, yours was yesterday.
Oh, that's right.
Okay, good.
Oh, wow.
All right.
The birthday club. Yeah. This is great.
Anybody else on the list?
Well, I'm just starting it.
Oh, okay. So
I guess that's all we have right now.
Okay.
It's me.
Well,
I guess
shower that's really me enough, with stuff. Isn't it? Yeah.
I guess. It's kind of awkward, but
here we are.
Chose the birthday club to start this week. You know what? I think I'm going to wrap it up this week, too. I think it's the last one.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, wasn't that great of a feature anyway.
It was. It was good. It was a really good feature, I thought. Reason number like 6,000 that I'm thankful for Jesus. He gives us a picture of what we should be like. But it's better than just a picture. You know how it is? Like, if you sit down to draw, maybe you remember this from school, or maybe you're in fifth grade right now, as a matter of fact, but when they show you how to draw a tree or draw a car, we tend to just draw the same thing over and over. It's like, hey, draw that tree. I'll draw a tree. But it's always just kind of a symbol in our head of what that looks like.
Yeah.
So we can't even see it, right? It's just a vision. That's all it is. We're not seeing the tree anymore. We're not seeing the car, we're just drawing a symbol of what a car looks like, so we draw the same thing over and over. Well, it's hard to talk to Christians about Jesus because of that. Like, we've already got our idea. Oh, this is what he's like. But it's not necessarily what he's really like. We're not really seeing him anymore because we're so familiar. Mm-hmm. It's a really good idea to try to strip away all those presuppositions and then read scripture again fresh and see what he's really like. And this person for whom I'm supposed to be an apprentice. I want to learn from him how I'm supposed to be. But I got to see him fresh. And I'm very thankful that we have this really great description of what he's like. It helps so much. Hey there, I am Brant. Producer Sherry is here too. Thank you for listening to the show.
You were talking about candy corn the other day on the show.
Yeah,
how awful it is. And someone wanted to take issue with that. They called in.
Okay.
My name is Tim, and I hear you talking about the candy corn. And you're supposed to eat it with peanuts. If you eat it with peanuts, it tastes like you're eating a payday. It's a lot cheaper than a payday. That's all. Can't believe I called for that reason, but whatever.
I salute that. I like the attempt. Here's the thing.
Yes.
Yeah. If you dilute it with other foods, eventually it becomes palatable. That's
okay.
Right. Yeah. So I mean, it's the same thing with anything that's inedible. Like, well, yeah, but if you surround it with other food, this, you know, here's some shredded newspaper. But if you put it in with
if you put ketchup on
and,
it,
yeah,
should be
whatever,
all right.
Yeah. It turns out to be okay. Yeah, okay. Good point. I get it. So we've been doing this thing on this show where we talk about a proverb. We just kind of randomly pull one out. Well, Danielle suggested we talk about this one, and it's so good. We've actually hit on this before because I think people should type this up or put it on a post-it note, stick it on a computer, or maybe on the back of your phone or something because it's so good. Proverbs 18, verse 2 actually says, "A fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion." Just an excellent verse to put on the old.
Right there next to the old keyboard.
Right next to the old keyboard.
You go to fire off a status or a tweet.
But remember who I am. I love expressing my opinion, but I take no pleasure in understanding. Who am I? Well, a fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion. Yo, yo, yo. What's going on?
Yo,
my name is Brant. Thank you for listening to our show. It's very smooth, very cool.
Yo, yo, yo. Oh, my goodness.
I interrupted my vibe.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. I don't
anyway,
need to.
Anyway. Well, I've just been handed. I'm sorry. We have to cut into the show. I had something cool to talk about, but we've just been handed breaking animal news.
Mm-hmm.
This is fascinating. Oh, my goodness. Wow. True story.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. There's a little girl. She's just, you know, a tiny kid, and she's being babysat. And the girl is choking, and the babysitter's not in the room.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the parrot who's in the room named Willie starts yelling to come help the little girl.
What?
And the babysitter hears the yelling from the parrot, comes in, does the Heimlich maneuver on the girl, and the baby is saved. The little girl baby is saved because of a parrot.
Now,
a bird.
You said the parrot was yelling what?
It was yelling mama baby really loud is what I was saying, like to try to get attention. And now the bird, before you doubt that this story is true, Willie has been honored by the Red Cross. They had a big banquet and everything, and the mom said she appreciates the babysitter, but Willie is the real hero.
Do you think Willie knows he's being honored by the Red Cross?
Yep. Parrots are very smart. Now, you should know if you're new to the show that Sherry hates birds. And so, in Sherry's world, this never would have happened.
Well, I'm not sure that, okay.
But Willie is real, and he did what he needed to do to save a life. And I think that that is, I think that's beautiful.
Sorry. You're really taking this seriously.
I think it's beautiful.
Okay.
So, that's our breaking animal story for you. Willie the parrot saves a life, honored at banquet by the Red Cross. That's awesome. Greetings to you. If you ever, by the way, want to connect with us, we love it. It's 855-90-BRANT. That is the phone number to call, 855-90-BRANT. And you can leave a message if you want.
Brant, this is Matthew calling from Clarksville. I think you should get a Snapchat for the show, and we can all get up to date everything about everything. Just an idea.
Okay.
I think that's a good idea. Appreciate that. I don't know what Snapchat does.
I don't either.
You don't either?
I don't know.
You're usually a little more savvy.
Well, I see my kids, they were in my youth group, they're snapping away, but I don't know what they're doing.
So
what's the difference?
I don't know.
Okay.
We're already doing the other stuff they told us to do. I don't understand that. I'm on Instagram.
You posted like 3 pictures on there.
And I was like, why am I here? I don't understand. So, anyway, we'll get right on that.
Yeah, we'll be right there.
Yeah, because we're hip too, just like you guys. Sherry and I are both very hip, very on top of it. We know what's.
Yeah, we're all
quote unquote
out there.
Shaking out there on the quote unquote scene.
Shaking.
Yeah, that's what the kids say.
They don't, Brant. They don't say shaking.
Anyway, somebody asked us, "Hey, why aren't you on Snapchat?"
Mm-hmm.
And we full well know that Snapchat is, I just forgot a few minutes ago.
Yeah, but now it came back to you?
I know full well that it's a popular mobile app that allows me to send videos and pictures, both of which will self-destruct after a few seconds of a person viewing them. Snapchat is also a fun messaging app. I can take a photo or video with it, then add a caption or doodle or lens graphic over top and send it to a friend. I know that.
You knew that. So are we going to start a Brant Hanson Show Snapchat or what?
I don't know how to do it. I don't want to. I don't want to. I can't keep up with the other stuff.
I know, Brant, but this is where the millennials are now. They're on Snapchat.
Why?
If we want to reach people, we're going to have to snap and chat.
Why can't millennials just find us on all the other stuff we're on?
Find your a social
grief.
Media platform and
tired.
Stick with it.
Millennials, we're tired. Yeah, there, I said it. I'm tired. It's just, I've lived too long. I'm just gonna, Generation X is now just, you know.
It's just exhausting.
You wore us out. I'm just like my grandma. Like
I know.
I have to go sit down over here. You know what? I had fun with you for a little while, but grandma needs to sit down and just relax for
Uncle
a second.
Uncle Brant needs a nap.
Why? Well, we're having fun. What's so tiring about playing cars? I just need a break. Yeah. Okay. I'm about to get in trouble. You ready?
No.
Yeah.
Why? Why
well,
do we have to
it's
do
on
it?
My, it's on my brain. I feel like I have to talk about it.
Okay. Go ahead.
All right. Well, half the people aren't going to care.
Okay.
The other half's going to be upset about it.
All right, let's hear
there
it.
There might be one or two going, yeah, man, right.
Okay.
I feel like there's this word called disciple. Like, if you're going to be a follower of Jesus, that's what it means.
Mm-hmm.
So you're like his apprentice, right?
Yes.
You're his understudy. You learn his lines. Mm-hmm. You learn how to act like him.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really important. But I don't see a whole lot of that actually happens.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've been around church culture for a long time. I don't see it.
A lot of talk about it, though.
A lot of talk about it, but like the actual stuff he says. I keep going back to reading the Gospels and reading what Jesus says. Mm-hmm. Stuff like, bless those who curse you. Mm-hmm. So wouldn't, if I was trying to teach somebody how to do that, I would teach somebody how to do that.
Right, yeah.
Like, here's how you bless somebody. Because you have to learn that. That is not natural.
Right.
How do I bless somebody who's cursing me? Who's everything I am or believe in, they're making fun of it, they mock it, they put it down, or whatever. Like, okay, how do I turn around and bless? Because that would be apprenticing under this guy, right?
Right. And the word bless, someone told me one time, is to add value.
Interesting. Now, that's what I'm talking about.
And to curse is to take away value. So how do I add value to you when you're trying to take away value from me?
Okay.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about. So you just said more than I've heard in a long time.
Now we're both in
trouble.
That's
really interesting. Yeah, because if I want to apprentice under this guy.
Yes.
I want to do what he did.
Yeah.
Add value. And he did that for people who are cursing him. That's really interesting. You know what? I think we should talk about this. I think this is really important. Sherry's putting on this play, okay, and it's about race and Jesus. So those are already hot topics mixed in there. Mm-hmm. I think it's brilliant. It's redemptive. It's profound.
Thank you.
It's one of the few things that make any sense to me, just being honest. So she had an opportunity, because there's going to be a big crowd.
Yeah.
It's selling out.
Mm-hmm.
But she had an opportunity to sell advertising on the programs, mm-hmm. and some politicians wanted to take advantage of that.
That is correct, sir.
So that's money.
Yeah.
But
quite a bit of it.
But you said no.
I did.
Why?
Because I felt like politics would have strangled the whole point. I feel like everything right now is drowning in politics. And that if I'm going to give a message about the kingdom of God, it has to be divorced of that, or it puts people in a different mindset. Like, once you enter politics into it, we all go to our separate corners, mm-hmm. with all our talking points, mm-hmm. and it all gets lost.
Totally. It allows people to dismiss what you're saying.
Yes. Yes.
No matter what side the politician's
right.
on.
Yes.
And these were judges, by the way, who come up for votes and stuff like that. Don't even know what their positions are. But the whole point is, like, it'll just be like, oh, okay, here's another political thing.
That's what I thought.
But the kingdom of God, and I liken it to playing three-dimensional chess, if you've ever done that. It's kind of a nerdy thing to do, but like, you get a different plane going on.
Yeah.
Something else people aren't talking about. They think politics, this is the solution, and that's the be-all, end-all, but it's not. This is the same reason we tell people this, too. If you're new to the show, you should know, we don't have a political agenda for the show. It's not that we don't have opinions.
Mm-hmm.
Plenty of opinions. We talk about them all day long off the air. But it's just like, is there some place, somewhere, where people are just going, look at the real king?
Mm-hmm.
Just somebody doing that? Because if not, I don't understand the whole kingdom of God stuff. Like, Jesus was in a political situation where he was,
mm-hmm.
and he kept talking about the kingdom. And it's like we have to trust. I feel like we have to trust. I'll introduce you to Jesus. That's what we're hoping to do. And he will change us. As we're obedient to him, he'll change you. He'll change me. He'll change Sherry, all of us. But that's the big picture. It's like he's the big picture. I had this idea come up yesterday on the show. I think it's great. It's a business idea. It's called the Super Team. You hire him for a day, and it's expensive.
Very expensive.
I know, but it's just one day, and it's everything.
Okay.
Like all the hassles in life,
mm-hmm.
you take care of everything. So, first of all, an anesthesiologist comes in your house, puts you to sleep.
Why do they have to put you to sleep?
Because I don't want to be awake for all this stuff. And then there's a dentist comes in, checks your teeth, they do tooth cleaning. Somebody mm-hmm. There's a guy who replaces all the batteries and all your smoke detectors.
Yeah.
Someone changes out the heating AC filters. Maybe you have a piano tuner come.
Oh, sure.
Doctor for all the checkups. maid service, oil change guy for your car. There's a haircut person, a guy from H&R Block comes and does your taxes, and then you just wake up.
You wake up.
I love this idea. The super team just takes care of it while you sleep.
Hey, it's Bill, and love the super team idea. Wanted to add something to it. They come out unbeknownst to you, set up the anesthesia gas. When you push the super team button, it releases the gas. You fall asleep. They do everything on the to-do list. Then they release another gas, wakes you up. And so you wake up, you can't even thank them. You've just got everything done by the
You just wake up and they're just gone. And your teeth feel a little weird and stuff.
There's going to be a lot of stuff.
Huh,
but
a little sore. But this is awesome. Hey there, I am Brant. Producer Sherry is here too.
We have yet another voicemail of someone taking exception with you about the whole pumpkin spice thing.
Okay, let's hear it.
Hey guys, this is Charlie. I just got to tell you, Brant, I am so addicted to the new McDonald's lattes, the pumpkin lattes that they have. They really have true pumpkin in them, and I just find myself drinking them, and I'm like, man, I am so addicted to these things now. And I thought I'd call, challenge Brant, go down to McDonald's, get yourself a non-fat pumpkin latte, and you tell me how good they are. And then if you have to tell me they're not, you can tell me that too. But I'm sure you won't. All right, bye.
Okay, so he's
a little suspicious.
What? What's suspicious?
Well, because he said McDonald's like 10 times.
Right.
It's like Ronald himself. I mean, if you're going to do an advertisement. Oh, yeah, this is Charlie. And I just want to tell you how incredible McDonald's pumpkin spice lattes
so
are.
You're
I'm
saying
not buying it.
On the other side of that phone is a fluffy red wig. And
mm-hmm.
Okay.
If you could see the
big floppy red shoes
of the person calling. Something suspicious about that.
It's a setup.
I don't like it. So Jesus wants us to be his apprentice. And if you know anything about apprenticing, like there's an electrician, you apprentice under the electrician, you learn how to handle all that stuff. And you watch the person do it, which is so much better than just having a guidebook
mm-hmm.
or like a car manual. You ever open up one of those things? Like, and there's schematics or something? I just close it and set it aside.
And call someone who knows.
Right.
Yeah.
Someone.
Mm-hmm.
A person. Man, that's a huge help. It's not just a list of rules. List of things. God gave us a person, and we can actually learn from him and understudy him and go, okay, he had people acting this way. He faced all the stuff that I'm facing times 1,000. All the stuff that we get upset about in this culture, he had to deal with that in his. How did he handle it? I want to be like that. But the great thing is, it's not just a book. He gave us a person. We were just talking about Jesus, and a lot of us have cartoon versions of him in our heads or cartoon versions of what Christianity looks like, and I don't always blame us for that. I mean, we're in a certain culture, and that's what the culture does. They create this
caricature.
Image or whatever. Oh, yeah, totally. Saw this thing on Facebook the other day, and it was like, here's the main teaching of all the different religions in the world, and it started with Christianity and said the main teaching is the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have done mm-hmm. unto you. Then it had all the different versions of that from all the other religions as mm-hmm. their main teaching. Like, that's not true. That's actually not true. That's not the main teaching of Christianity. It's all about Jesus is the main teaching. It's him. He did say that, make no mistake. And he was offering a commentary actually on existing rules and other religions at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And he actually expanded what they were saying. But he wrapped everything up with love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. So there's a God element. It's not just about treating other people.
Yeah, because they don't crucify people who say
right. That's exactly
the golden
right.
rule. It has to be about something more, and it is about something more.
Exactly. They don't crucify people just for that. It's not. The thing is, all that to say, we all have this kind of idea about what Jesus is or who he is. It's a really good idea to read for yourself. Read it. See how he blows apart maybe the image you have or the things you've seen mocked before. If you're new to this, like, yeah, there's this thing that people make fun of, and then there's the real Jesus. Like, grapple with the real one. True confession. Back in the day, we did something we weren't supposed to do. I think I was in middle school or high school. My brother and I and a friend, he did it. It was my fault.
Mm-hmm. okay.
We stole cable. cable TV. Yeah, you could, back in the day, they had this little connector back in your backyard.
Oh, yeah.
And you could take that thing off and rewire that so you weren't paying for it, but you got it. What was weird was I thought, hey, we shouldn't be doing this. And then within about a week, I'm kind of like, well, you know, we're not actually using it. I had already reoriented reality.
Justifying
my behavior. We're incredible at that.
All of us.
All of us.
And we can pick it out in other people, but we can't see it in ourselves.
Totally. It's like we can develop an entire ethical system based on what I'm already doing. And then if there's something I want to do, I've seen this happen a million times with me, with friends, we'll reverse engineer our entire worldview in order to fit what we wanted to do or what we already started doing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's actually a writer named Aldous Huxley, and I've heard him quoted several times saying he became an atheist to justify what he wanted to do in college, the way he wanted to live. Most people aren't that honest, but this is all of us, not just talking about atheists, like all of us, our ability to justify ourselves. This is why you need people around you to straighten you out who are honest. This is why this Christianity thing is not a loner sport. It's not a single player deal. It's a team sport, because if you don't have people, you will justify anything. But unfortunately, we humans, we're like, we act and then we shape our beliefs to fit what we just did. Now, that can go the other direction in a beautiful way. I actually read this guy named Dallas Willard, who I really liked. He passed away a few years ago. But he said, what shapes the heart in the right way is a simple thing, and it's called obedience. So if you can obey in small ways, like say, be generous when you don't feel like it, but you know it's the right thing to do. He said that actually shapes our heart to make us more like Jesus. So it works the other way. Just small acts of obedience, going, you know what, I want to do this, but I'm not going to. Just this once, I'm going to obey. I'm going to treat this person the right way. And it softens your heart and changes it and shapes it in just the right way. But that's how you become more of an apprentice of Jesus, is just start obeying.
The Brant and Sherry Oddcast, sponsored by the King's College. To find out more about the radio show or to order Brant's new book, Blessed Are the Misfits, go to branthanson.com.